The item that Rabbi Nizal is going to discuss now is a very, very interesting point regarding people that teach Torah, especially people that teach Torah publicly. We know that normally a person would say that when has a person reached a level where they're really, really a big Talmud Chacham and very knowledgeable in Torah, when a person gets to a point where they have so much knowledge of Torah, that if this person is put into a situation where he didn't get a chance to prepare himself, suddenly he walks into a house and somebody asks him, can you give me a Dvar Torah on the Parsha of the week? I need a Dvar Torah. This person thinks for a second, boom, he picks out of his head, out of his computer brain, he picks out an item and he's right away ready with a Dvar Torah. Or under any circumstance, usually we would say that shows that the person has a tremendous amount of knowledge and understanding of Torah. Whereas, if you see that in order for a person to give a lecture in Torah, to give a shiur, the person sits down and prepares themselves and they think it over, etc., you would think possibly that shows that he's not really so smart and so great, because a person that really knows it well, he doesn't have to prepare it all or think about it. Suddenly he just opens his mouth and boom, it comes out. Rabbi Nizal discusses this item in a Torah Likutei Moran. Let's hear clearly what a real master of Torah has to say about this. Torah Kuf Yud Ches, Rabbi Nizal says, Le'inyan Chidush in our Likutei Morans, this is page 100, the left-hand column, a little bit more than halfway down the page, of the second half of Likutei Moran. Le'inyan Chidushei Torah, regarding the subject of Chidushei Torah, bringing forth new items, new ideas in Torah, Sheyesh Gedolim, there are certain great people, great Rosh Yeshivas or Talmidei Chachamim, Shehayu Meshabchem Oisam, that people praised them and said, Sheomrim Torah Beli Machshava Ve'iyun Mikoidim, that this person is so great at Talmud Chacham, he's able to say Chidushei Torah without thinking it over at all, without having to sit down and think about it. Boom, he just starts talking about an item in Torah, and right away he has Chidushim. He's able to come up with new ideas. This is something that people speak about. Rav Nosenzal writes, Omar, Rav Nosenzal said, She'ein ze maila kol kach. That's not considered a great quality. That's not so great. Ki bevadai yecholim loimar Torah b'li machshava ve'iyun. Because certainly, anybody that has a good basis of knowledge in Torah can say Divrei Torah without having thought it out very deeply before, without having spent much time thinking it over before. Ki yecholim lekasher hamachshova v'hadibor l'Hashem Yisborach, because a person just has to stop for a second and attach their brain and their mouth to Hashem, V'loimar Torah b'li machshava v'yun mikoidim, and start speaking Divrei Torah without having thought it out and planned it out very, very well before. That anybody that's a reasonable Talmud Chacham should be able to do. Avol toiv yoiser kishechoishvin Torah. But Rabbi Nizal says it's much better when a person really thinks deeply about Divrei Torah. Meaning, especially before a person is going to give a shir in Torah, especially before a person is going to be mechadish in Torah, he's going to try to bring forth new ideas in Torah, it's much, much better that he thinks it over slowly and carefully, very, very well, before he begins. How do you know? Rabbi Nizal says, "V'haloy afilu etzla Hashem Yisborach, motzinu b'medrash." Even about Hashem, we find that it's written in the Medrash, "Shehashem Yisborach, kisheroitze legalis Torah." That Hashem, when Hashem wants to reveal Torah to Bnei Yisrael, hu chayzra dalit pa'omim koydem shoimra, Hashem Himself reviews it four times before He says it. V'lamdu mi posuk, and the Chachamim learn this out from a posuk in the Torah, where the posuk says, "Oz
ro'o vayisapro hechino vegam chokro. Then Hashem saw and discussed and prepared and thought it out very, very well, and then he taught it to Bnei Yisrael. Shenichtav bekan dalid bechinois. There's four different verbs written here. Ro'o vayisapro hechino vegam chokro. Shashem Yisborach kaviyochol roye v'soifer u'meichin v'choiker divrei Torah. Hashem looks over and counts and prepares and thinks deeply about divrei Torah. Dalit pa'omim, four times, koidem sha'imra, before Hashem says it. V'yachakach migala oiso lo'olam. And then Hashem first reveals it to the world. Makol shkein ben odom. If that's what Hashem does, imagine how much more so a human being, sha'imra, v'yachak, makoshkin ben odom, she'tzorech lachshoiv, ula'ayin, v'lachkoir, ula'varer hadivrei Torah b'machshavto itchilo heitev, kodem sha'imra. How much more so a human being has to first think over very, very well and study deeply and clarify the divrei Torah before he goes ahead and says it to people, says it in a shiur to people. Now, just for a moment, to quote the exact words of the Medrash, this Medrash appears in Medrash Rabbah, Parshas Kisisa, towards the beginning of the Perek Mem, in the Medrash. The Medrash says, Amri Rabbonon, the rabbis said, Tzorech Odom Lihiyos Noitel Moshol. A person has to take an example. From whom? The Matnas Kuna says, Me'akodesh Baruch Hu, from Hashem. Loimar, Pirkoi, Oyagadetoi, Oymidroshoi, Bishor Shumav, Loimar, Pirkoi, Oyagadetoi, Oymidroshoi, Bishor Shumavake, Shloimarim Bitzibur. When it comes to saying over a medresh, an agodo, a perek, regarding saying it over in a tzibur, what lesson should we take from Hashem? Loi yoimar, a person should not say, Hoyil sha'ani yodea bo yofe, since I know this very well, since I learned this Gemara already, or since I learned this chapter on Likutei Moran already, kishe ekoneis libroi sha'ani yoimer. When I come into the room and I sit down and I start teaching, that's when I'll say it, period. I don't have to study it over first. I learned this already 3-4 times last year, a few years ago, whatever it is. I don't have to make any preparations. I don't have to prepare the shiur. I'll come in, I'll sit down, I'll open the sefer, I know how to read it, and I'm familiar with this Torah. A person should not say that. Omar Rabbi Acha, and Rabbi Acha said, who are you going to learn an example from? Min ho elokim ato loimed. You can learn this from Hashem. Kishebikesh loimar Torah liYisrael. The Torah tells us that when Hashem wanted to say Torah to the Yidden, Omro dalid pa'omim beinoy levein atzmoy, kaviyochol, Hashem first studied it over and said it over to himself 4 times, ad shaloy omro liYisrael, before saying it to Bnei Yisrael. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, Oz, ro'o, vayisapro, heichino, v'gam chokro, v'acharkach, vayoymer lo'odom. The Pasuk says, kaviyochol, Hashem saw it and counted it and prepared it and delved deeply into it. And then it says, vayoymer lo'odom, and he said to the person, before saying it to a person, to first review it and think it over very, very well, at least 4 times. And this is why there's a halach in Shulchan Aruch that a bal kere who wants to get up to lane has to first look over the laning a few times. It shouldn't be a thing that he comes in and starts reading right away. It's definitely much, much better if he prepares it beforehand, and especially if a person has to give a shiur in Divrei Torah. Here again, there are times that a person can't avoid it. He's put into a situation, suddenly he's asked to speak, he can't say, I'm sorry, I once learned that you have to first prepare it 4 times, and since I didn't prepare it 4 times, I'm not going to speak. You can't do that, because chas v'shalom, sometimes you'll be taking away an opportunity from people to hear a Dvar Torah. But we have to know for ourselves that these two are not the same. That there's a big difference between when a person gives a shir spontaneous and a person gives a shir that's well prepared. And Baruch Hashem, we were zeichet to see a good example. Our Rebbe Zichron Avrocha was a very, very great Talmud Chacham, a Boki in Shas, in Midrashim, in Shulchan Aruch, in Zohar HaKodesh, in Kisvei Arizal, in Rabbeinu Zal Sforim, and yet it came to giving a Gemara Shir on Shabbos morning. He sat down on Friday and he prepared the Shir. You saw him looking over that Gemara. What was he looking over? The Taich? He knew the Taich. He learned it many, many, many times. But still, there's this issue of a hachana to a shir, that if a person does this properly, if a person follows the methodology that the Torah prescribes, that's when you have the real hatzlacha in learning and in teaching. And if you don't, then it's understood. You're not going to have the same hatzlacha as somebody that does follow exactly the methodology that the Torah prescribes. This is one thought that Rabbeinu Zal presents in this Torah. Now Rabbeinu Zal says, V'omar, Rabbeinu Zal writes, and Rabbeinu Zal also said, She'achshov, nowadays, benokel ma'oid l'chadesh b'Torah. It's very, very easy nowadays for a Yid to bring forth new ideas in Torah. Machmas shekvar nespashtu chiburim kedoshim harbe mitzadikim shebedoy reisenu, because of the fact that there have already been printed so many sforim of tzadikim in our generations, ukefi hasichos vahizgalus shenespashet biyomenu, and according to how much Torah has been revealed in our time, so many thousands of sforim that have been written, it's been made much easier for a Yid to bring forth new ideas in Torah. In other words, it seems the fact that other rabbis and other tzaddikim and other talmidei chachamim have been able to bring forth so much new Torah, this has literally made it easier for any Jew who wants to learn and who wants to bring forth chidushei Torah. It definitely has been made easier by this. Gam, additionally, Omar Rabbeinu Zal said, Amar shekosuv b'Zohar HaKodesh, Posach Rabbi Yitzchok v'Omar, we find in the Zohar HaKodesh many times, the Zohar HaKodesh begins a chapter or a paragraph by saying, Posach Rabbi Shimon v'Omar. Rabbi Shimon opened up and he said, Posach Rabbi Yitzchok v'Omar. Rabbi Yitzchok opened up and he said, Rabbeinu Zal said, Uva Omar, Ukiyotze b'ze b'shar ha-chavraya kadisha. We find similarly by other members of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai's shir there, the same lushan. Rabbeinu Zal said, Posach Rabbi Yitzchok. When it says Posach Rabbi Yitzchok, what does it mean? Kishehoya rak poiseach es piv, tekef umiyad hoya oimer megala Torah. These tzaddikim were on so high a level that the minute he opened up his mouth, already the Torah was rolling forth from it. It came, it flowed so easily from the mouths of these very great tzaddikim. V'afal pikein, and still, kvar mavur, we've already explained, shetoiv yoiser la'ayin v'lachshoiv, that it's still better than that Torah that comes rolling off your lips. The minute you open your mouth, you say Advar Torah, better is to sit down and think it through very, very well before you say Advar Torah. Shekoirin trachten Torah. As we call it in Yiddish, this iyun and chishuv is called ibetrachten, like to think it over well before you speak it. Baruch Hashem. These are Rabbeinu Zal's words. Any questions?
What is the main chiddush here? Like, not to put it down, like, isn't it almost obvious that if someone prepares a shir?
No, I would definitely say if you would ask people, which is a bigger gadlus of a person? A person who, when he gives a shir, he sits down, he's got to prepare it and everything, this, that. Or another person who's so big a Talmud Chacham, you tell him, okay, guess what? You're live. Start. I want to hear a 45-minute shir. And the guy starts, guy just without thinking, just picks a word, picks a gemara, Baba Basra, boom. I remember this discussion, you know, about a wall, the separation, and starts delivering a Dvar Torah. People could easily say that, wow, that's a real sign of a Talmud Chacham. That's the true sign of godless of a Talmud Chacham is that he doesn't even need any preparation. The second he starts talking, he can deliver a shiur. And Rabbi Nizal wanted to make a point of saying that you should know that that's not such a big chiddush. Anybody that has a decent knowledge of Torah can do that. That's for all the Talmidei Chachamim. You should know, once you're on that level, now it's first the chiddush for such a person to sit down and prepare a Dvar Torah, where he has thought it out, and he has thought out of all to be Mekasher, to take five ideas in Torah and weave them together and show how they are perfectly connected and show the connections between them and how one thing leads to another, and through this, that's the Iker, that's the Tachlis in Torah. The Tachlis isn't that once you've gotten to a point where you can do this, you can give a spontaneous shiur, a guy says, now I know I've made it. No, that's not considered, that's not the climax. That's anybody that's a real good, a decent Talmud Chacham should be able to do that. When you know you've made it is when you feel an enjoyment and a pleasure before you deliver a Dvar Torah in sitting down and looking it over carefully and thinking deeply about it, not just on the surface, but penetrating on your own level, trying to go as deep as you can and to be able to really put together a beautiful binyan. Okay. Torah Kuf Yutes. Rav Nosenzal writes, this Torah is very, very precious, especially if a person is zeichet to learn this at a young age. You save yourself a lot of problems and a lot of bilbul of people that don't know about this. And they're walking around in this world looking for a rainbow, looking for the $1 million, or looking for the one thing that's going to happen in their life that's going to solve all their problems. Rabbi Nizal sets us very straight in this Torah as to what life in this world is all about. Rav Nosenzal writes, Diber imonu kamo po'omim me'inyen yisurei olam hazeh. Rabbi Nizal spoke to us many, many times about the suffering in this world. Shekol b'nei ha'olam kulam meleim yisurim. That every single person in the world is full of suffering. Ein gam echod sheyeloi olam hazeh. There doesn't exist a single person in this world who has olam hazeh, who has pleasure in this world. Vafilu ho ashirim hagdolim. Even the very, very, very rich people, vafilu hasorim, and even people that are kings or a cabinet minister, a person that's a leader of a country, Ein lohem shum olam hazeh klal. They don't have any pleasure trip at all in this world. Ki kol yemehem kas umachoivos. Their whole lives are filled with anger and problems and suffering and all kinds of things. V'kulam meleim tirdois, v'daigois, v'atzvus, v'yogoin, v'anocho tomid. And all of them are full of problems, worries, depression, suffering, all the time. V'chol echod yeshloi yisurim miyuchodim. And each one has their own special suffering. V'ein gam echod mikol hagvirim v'asorim shieloi hakoil keseder kirtzoinoi tomin. There doesn't exist a single one of these rich people or leaders of countries or generals where everything is always beseder with him, where everything's happening the way he wants it to be. No such thing in the world. V'kulam ki echod maleim yisurim v'daigois tomin. All of them are always full of suffering and worries. V'ze borur v'yodua l'kol mi sheboki k'tzas bohem v'ubedarkeim. This is something that anybody that knows a little bit about rich people and about the world, etc., knows that this is 100% fact. There's nothing, there's no maybes here at all whatsoever. V'kama po'omim dibarnu mizeh.
And Rav Nosson Zal writes, we spoke about this many, many times. V'hayinu royim beinenu kol zois. And we saw this with our own eyes. It was a chiddush to us a little, that we saw people, you see this person who has such a big house, and they have two cars, and they have a swimming pool, and they have this, and you would think this person's having such a good time. And then you study a little more carefully, you start watching the person more carefully and listening to them, and you hear that the person feels terrible, and they wish they could have this, and they wish that, for whatever reason, each one has their own peckle of suffering. This one has it from a wife, this one has it from certain physical problems, this one has mental problems, this one, it bothers him that his neighbor, there are certain multimillionaires that if they see their neighbor has a jalopy car, they don't fargin him, even though I have three cars and he has one, why should he have a car? He's a nothing, he's a nobody. What do you care? You have three cars. And yet we know that there exists this type of suffering by many, many Ashirim. V'afilu mi shenid me'olov sheyesh lo yoholam haza b'shleimus. Even you pick a certain person who it looks to you like this person has olam haza to the highest degree. This person's really enjoying life. V'yesh lo kol hatanugim. And he has all the pleasures. Oysher v'nechosim v'kovoid v'hoin rav v'armoinim gedoilim v'kelim nefloim v'tachshitim v'skulas melochim. The person has all the pleasures. They're rich. They have a lot of property. People give them a lot of honor. They're honored at dinners and everything. And they have a lot of money. And they have beautiful, beautiful palaces and a beautiful office and beautiful dishes and cars and swimming pools and all kinds of things. Im yistaklu bo yehetev, if you look at this person carefully, well, he gamkein mole, hu gamkein mole kas umachoivois harbe tomid, bekamo mine oifanim vinyonim, kinira bechush. You'll see that this person is always very angry and upset and suffering in all different kinds of ways, as is known bechush. As we know, this is the fact 100%. And very rare that we discuss personal experiences. I recall being about 19 years old, 20 years old, when I first started working, going out into the working world, and I was earning about $150 a week at the time at a computer firm, and there was a person that was working there at the time, a person that wasn't religious, and he had a house out on Long Island, big, beautiful house, and a swimming pool, and he was discussing this. He once came into our room. There were three frum people that were working together in a room. This person was not religious at all, and he always came in dressed very fancy and arrogant, big shoddy. You saw this person working, walking around, you thought positively, this guy's on top of the world. This guy must have it better than the president. He's so walking around like a peacock, fluttering and everything. One time, he came into the room, and he was talking for about an hour straight about how every single thing in the world is bothering him. How much suffering this guy has. This is no good, and that's no good, and this bothers him and his kids. And literally, I got to see, this is, we're reading the book, I got to see the movie. This is the movie, a person standing in front of your own eyes, whom you would never imagine in your wildest dream that this guy has what to say in terms of trouble and problems, and you saw that he was covered from head to toe, literally. However many problems I thought I had, this guy had a billion times worse. And this is what Rabbeinu Zal was telling us is fact. If you'll be honest, if you won't be a baby, if you're a baby, you look at somebody, oh, it looks to you, you look at him, he looks like he's having a good time. If you look a little more carefully inside and you watch closely and you wait for that one moment when the door opens up and you get to see what's really the truth, then you get to find out that suddenly it's a facade, it's a fake. Most people are walking around making believe that everything's okay when really inside they're hurting so much. It's just many times it's the arrogance of the person that they're not willing to admit it and to be honest enough with themselves to say, I must be doing something wrong. Obviously, all the pleasure that I thought that I'm going to get from all of these things, I got here already and I see it's not there. And this is why we hear many stories of millionaires
killing themselves, and other things like that, suicides. Why? Because these people, who you would think they have it the best, in many, many cases, they have it the worst. Rav Nosson writes, "Ve'ein tzorech levayer zois lemi sheyesh loy moyach bekodkodoy." I don't have to explain this to somebody that has a brain in their head, umistakil ktsas bohem be'emes, and he looks at these people carefully, honestly, with honesty. Ukamashikosov Shlomo HaMelech Olav HaSholem, and as Shlomo HaMelech, who was the smartest of all people in the world, he writes in his Sefer, Gam kol yomov kas umachoivos. All of their days are filled with anger and pain and troubles and suffering. Uksiv, and the Pasuk says, Odom la'omol yulod. A person was created in this world, to work, to suffer, to struggle. Ktsar yomim usvarigis. Person has short time and a lot of anger, a lot of problems, a lot of suffering. And this is something that includes everybody in the world, from the biggest to the smallest, from the richest to the poorest, from the thinnest to the fattest. Everybody is included in this. Everybody was created to struggle. Umaleim roiges v'yisurim, and everybody is filled with problems and things that could lead them to anger. Ve'ein shum etza v'tachbula lihinotzel me'omol v'yogin zeh. Now, a person would say, okay, fine, you told me this. Fine, I'm no dummy, I'm no idiot. I'll go to school, or I'll read newspapers, or I'll stay up all night, and I'll figure out a way how to fool the system. I'll figure out a way how to get around this. I won't have to struggle. I won't have to work hard. It's going to come easy for me. Rabbeinu Zal says, I'll save you the bother, because you're going to play around, you're going to fool yourself into thinking that it's possible. Rabbeinu Zal says, I'm telling you clearly, there's no way in the world to save yourself from this. Ki im livroyach l'Hashem yisporach v'lasik b'Torah. Other than, the only escape is to escape to Hashem, to escape to the Torah, to escape into Frumkeit. That how am I going to get away from all my problems and all my trouble? I'm going to take out a Sefer and I'm going to start learning. And I'm going to dive into the Yam HaTorah. And I'm going to throw myself into that, and that'll allow me to disengage, to disconnect myself from all the problems and all the worries and all the suffering in this world. And as is written in the Medrash, Odom le'omol yulod. The Pasuk says, man was created to struggle. Ashrei mi she'amolai b'Torah. Fortunate is that person who says, listen, if I have to suffer, if I have to struggle, why shouldn't my struggle be in Torah? If I'll struggle to learn Torah, Hashem will remove the other struggles for me. Hashem will make it easier for me to have parnosa, easier for me to have other things. I have to struggle in this world. If I'm not going to struggle to learn Torah, Hashem will make sure that when it comes to other things, I'll have to struggle for them. If I'll struggle for learning Torah, for which I'll be rewarded, for which I'll get a Gan Eden which is so big, none of us could imagine how good Gan Eden could be. Why should I waste my struggling and suffering on stupidity, on things where it's not going to do me any good, when rather I'd rather save my struggle, I'd rather struggle to have an hour of Hespedidus, which doesn't always come easy. There are times that it's very, very difficult. There are times that there's nothing harder in the world than to do that. But I know that if I struggle in that, Hashem will make all the other things that other people have to struggle for and suffer for come much more easily for me. The Efshur, Rabbi Nizal explains, Hainu me'achar shekol adam noilad l'umol. Once we understand that every single person was created to struggle, v'i efshur lihimolet mizeh b'shum oifin, and it's impossible to escape that whatsoever. Even if you'll have everything in the world, you'll still suffer. You're still going to have to struggle. Certainly a person who has a lot of things certainly has a lot of problems and a lot of suffering and a lot of struggle. Al kein, therefore, hachochom einov baroishoy. A person that's smart has his eyes in his head. He thinks carefully, thinks well. Sheyahafoy cho'omol li'omol shel Torah. That he'd rather exert himself, he'd rather struggle and push himself and strain in the struggle to acquire Torah, asher b'shvil zeh noilad, shiyamel b'Torah, where that's the real reason why Hashem created all of us. Hashem created us because He wants us to struggle to be zeichet, to become knowledgeable in Torah, to be zeichet, to acquire knowledge in the thing that Hashem considers so precious. The oz ashrei loy. And then a person who will be zeichet to do this, that person is the luckiest one. Ki nitzol me'amal ha'olam hazeh. Because such a person will be saved and spared from the struggle of this world. V'zeiche l'chaye olam haba. And the person will be zeiche to the true good life, which is in olam haba. Now Rav Nosson Zal adds, Ono v'omar Rabbeinu Zal, Rabbeinu Zal spoke up and said, Hinei hakoil oimrim sheyesh olam hazeh v'olam haba. Everybody says that there are two worlds. The Medrash says that why was the Torah created with the letter why was the first letter in the Torah Beis? The Beis stands for two worlds, Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba. Two worlds. So Rabbeinu Zal says everybody says that there's Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba. Vehine Olam Haba onu ma'aminim sheyesh Olam Haba. As far as Olam Haba is concerned, if somebody would ask a Jew, do you believe that there is such a thing called Olam Haba? Person would say, yeah, I believe that there is such a thing. I haven't seen it, but I know and I believe 100% that there is such a thing. Rabbeinu Zal said, Efshir yesh gam Olam Hazeh gam kein be'eza Olam. Rabbeinu Zal said, maybe in some world there's something called Olam Hazeh also. Ki bekan nira shehu hagehenim. Because in this world, Rabbeinu Zal says, in this world, this place looks like Gehenim. This place doesn't look like Olam Hazeh. The way the Torah writes about Olam Hazeh, that it's a place where there's physical pleasures and fun and bum and all of that stuff, you're not going to find it here. Look around over here, see how much pleasure is going on. Find me a person that's on a pleasure trip that's really, 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 for real, having a good time. Not that you'll see him on a boat, on a yacht, and he's drinking and laughing and laughing, and it looks like he's having a good time. Catch him an hour later when he's sober and normal, and see what he has to say about life. You'll see that these guys usually end up jumping off a building, Rachmona Litzlan, or other kinds of crazy things, or they're on drugs, or because they want to forget. They're trying to forget, or they're trying to block out all their problems and troubles and worries. Ki kulam maleim yisurim gedolim tamid. Because all of these people that try to go after Olam Hazeh, all of these people that are looking for the wrong kind of pleasure in this world, all of them are filled with suffering always. The Omar and Rabbeinu Zal said, She'ein nimtza shum olam hazeh klal. If you want to look from today till tomorrow, you're not going to find olam hazeh. What did he mean to say by this? The Parbrois Lechochme explains and clarifies a little. The point that Rabbeinu Zal was trying to bring out was, you should know that one without the other, there doesn't exist a possibility. A person who's looking for Olam Haba, a person who's looking for the Tachlis, he wants to live a religious life in order that he could be zeichet to get pleasure. When? Not now. In the future, at the time that Hashem has designated, when Yidden will receive pleasure. When is that? In Olam Haba. Such a person, even in Olam Hazeh, he will be mistader. He'll be able to get by. He'll be able to manage. He won't suffer so much. Why? Because he's not looking for pleasure in this world. He knows this isn't a pleasure trip. In this world, he's just looking to get to survive, period. I'm not looking to have a fancy house. I'm not looking to have fancy food. I'm looking just to exist, to be alive and be able to be doing mitzvahs, to produce mitzvahs in my sentovim, because I know that there is going to come a time when Hashem is going to discuss reward and punishment. Now is not the time. This is not the place. I don't want it here, because the Torah says, Rishoim, Hashem gives them their olam haba and olam hazeh. That I don't want. I'm willing to wait. I'm not a baby. A baby, you tell him, I'm going to give you something. Can I have it now? Can I have it now? I want it this minute. That's a sign of immaturity. The younger somebody is, the less patience they have to wait. Somebody gets, as they get a little older, you see they're not such a baby. I must have it this second. You tell them, wait a half hour. So fine, it's not the end of the world. I'll wait a half hour and I'll get it. And the real maturity is when a person knows to wait 120 years. Wait till then. You're looking for pleasure in this world, you'll see what kind of patch you're going to get. If you're looking for the wrong thing in this world, you're going to see that everything is going to bother you, and everything is going to worry you, and everything's going to trouble you. But if you decide to believe the words of this rabbi, this tzaddik, Rabbeinu Zal, who understood the world so, so well and knew everything about it so, so well. And Rabbeinu Zal says, listen to me, my good friend, take it from me. You're going to study the world. You're going to see nobody's having a good time here. Don't think that, well, I'm going to work real hard. I'm going to make $1 million and then it's going to be great for me. Now I'm suffering. Then I'm going to have a good time. Don't be foolish. Don't be silly. Go out and see the people that have $1 million and look carefully. Study them carefully. Talk to them enough till you really get to know them. And then you tell me, is he having a good time? And you'll see that it's not true at all, because you'll see that people in this world who are living with physical pleasures, who don't have an interest in Olam Haba and Mitzvahs and Torah, there's no possibility for them to be having a good time. No such thing whatsoever. If it's a good time, it's for a few minutes or for a few hours, and then he goes back to his depression and suffering and worries, and he wishes he could get out of it. He wishes he could get out of it. And if a person is zeicher to understand that the purpose of all the time that we have in this world is just to prepare us for the next world. This is a hallway. This is a temporary stopover. This is just a place where you get dressed, you put on your clothes to prepare yourself to walk into the banquet, to the wedding, to the special things that are going to be presented when a person is zeicher to get to Olam Haba. Ashrei, ashrei to a person that's zeicher to take this advice from Rabbeinu Zal and to lead the type of life that Rabbeinu Zal was recommending. If any person takes a look at the end of Sichei Saran, at the end of the Sefer Sichei Saran, there's about 5-10 pages where Rabbeinu Zal elaborates on this a little bit more and really, really goes into detail explaining and proving and showing that, take it from me, you're going to see that if you're looking for the wrong things in this world, you're going to learn the hard way. And if you're looking for the right things in the world, you're going to find that you're so lucky, because you're going to meet other people who you would think they're having such a good time, and then you find that each one has their own peckle of customized suffering that they have. And unless a person is zeicher to be mekusher to the Torah, to be mekusher to tzaddikim, and to be leading this type of life where they're not looking for pleasure, where they're looking, I'm willing to have the least possible. If I have bread and water for a meal and my stomach isn't growling, I'm not starving, I have nothing to complain about. And if I have a basic article of clothing, if I have something to cover me, I have to be very thankful and very appreciative. Such a person will find that they go through life much, much happier than another person who has more luxury and better things and richer and all of that. Baruch Hashem.
People now, they don't live much richer and they have a worse. But
the question is,
that we learned in other places that Rishoim in this world, they have such a good time. Why is it that Rishoim in this world have such a good time? And here we're saying that Rishoim don't have a good time in this world. Both are true. One is on the surface, and one is a little bit more inside. There's a lot of people you're going to meet. You go to an irreligious wedding, to a wedding of people that aren't religious at all, that don't know anything about Torah, about Judaism, religion. You walk in there, you see laughing and dancing and singing. And if you're a baby, you say, wow, these must be the happiest people in the world and everything. And if you're a little smarter, and you walk over to the people and you hear them when they're talking, and you hear them talking about themselves and this, that, and you listen carefully, and you read between the lines, and you listen, you wait for the person to slip and to say what they really, what's going on, you hear suddenly that each one reveals that they're not having such a good time, that it's not such a party, that each one has their own peckle, big, big peckle of suffering and problems. One has it from children, one has it from a wife, one has it from the work, one has it from their neighbors, one has it from their health. Each one has their own peckle of suffering.
Yeah, how does Olam Haba relate to when Mashiach comes and what the world will be like then?
The answer is, to answer that question would take a few thousand years. And in order for a person to answer that question properly, it requires a very thorough knowledge of the Sifrei Kabbalah, because they're the ones who go into any type of detail in explaining exactly what's the sequence of events that's going to take place then, and what is life going to be like, etc., etc.
Is when Mashiach finally comes, things get settled, and the world comes into a state of peace, is that Olam Haba, or is there a world even after that that's Olam Haba?
There are different stages of what's going to take place. There is something, there's Bias Moshiach, is one stage. Tchias HaMesim, which is scheduled to take place 40 years later, is the second stage. There's something that's called Chiddush HaOlam, where there's going to be a new world created, literally, which only selected few are going to be privileged to enter into and participate. That's a third stage. These are little tidbits that we've heard from our rabbi, Zichron Avrocha, who had more knowledge than myself in this area. We know that there is something that's called Olam Haba, which is a world that's not going to be guided by physical things as we're aware of now, where the pleasures are going to be on a much higher level. There is going to be a stage of miracles, including physical miracles, such as clothing growing on trees and things like that, which the Zohar HaKadosh discusses. Now, it pays to mention that you might go to a different shir and hear the rabbis say very, very clearly that there are these silly people that think when Mashiach comes, things are going to be so different. There's a Beferish Gemara that says that the only difference is going to be Shibud Malchius. The only difference is, and the Rambam says this, that the only difference is going to be that we're not going to be under the rule of the Goyim. This item is presented in the Gemara as a Machlokes. That's the opinion of Shmuel, that the only difference between after Mashiach and before Mashiach is Shibud Malchius. There is another rabbi in the Gemara who debates this and disagrees emphatically. And if one looks in the Zohar HaKadosh, in the writings of the Arizal, in all the Sifrei Kabbalah and the Sifrei Hasidus, one finds very, very, very clearly that Lemaisa we paskin like the other opinion, that there definitely are going to be extraordinary miracles that are going to take place then, that are going to make the miracles of Yetzias Mitzrayim look very, very small in comparison. And this is the opinion that our Rabbi Zichron Avrocha and that a segment within Klal Yisrael has chosen to take in terms of Emunah. Pays to be aware of what these sides are and to know.
Is it that the person that's looking for the right, looking for the right thing on this world, he's aiming toward it. Is it that he'll have it easier because he'll have less physical yisurim, or because he's not really expecting or looking for pleasure anyway, so whatever he gets, he'll appreciate?
Both are true. The second thing you said is more true, that the less of a drisha that a person has in this world, the less demanding a person is, I want this, I need this, I can't sleep without two pillows, I can't sleep without one pillow, I can't start a day without my coffee, I can't start, I can't,
I have to have this. I have to have a car. I can't get around without a car. The more a person trains themselves to get to less and less, to get to a level where it takes the least possible to satisfy me, where if I found myself suddenly locked out of the house, I can't even get into my house, I don't have keys, so what? I can sit down in the middle of the street and start thinking about Divrei Torah, or I can start having hispoidus, or I can look at other people riding by in cars and be happy. Wow, I'm happy for that person that they have a car and they're able to get around. It's nice to see that people aren't sick. Well, imagine if I saw this person, a cripple, walking in the street crying and groaning, I would feel much worse than if I walk in the street and I see that people are able to walk and run and play. I see children playing. I see people dressed nicely. I'm happy for them. I'm happy that this, besides a person being happy about their own good, happy to see that another person isn't suffering, that things are going well for them. The more a person trains themselves to need as little as possible, mitzad olam hazeh, the more that person finds that they have a sipuk, the less you demand, then you'll find that what you're given is sufficient and satisfactory, etc. And also, when a person takes that attitude, Hashem is more willing to give. The less demanding you are from Hashem, the more Hashem is willing to give. And those people that want, I want this, I want that, I want this, Hashem says, that's your attitude. The more you want, the less you get.
Is that the reason why Chazon with an ashes on his forehead?
Meaning that what's the reason?
Because he still has problems even though he's very happy.
Exactly. In other words, it's a reminder. When a chosen puts ashes on his head before going to the chuppah, it's a reminder that you shouldn't forget yourself. You're going to a chasen and it's the happiest day of your life and it's the happiest moment and there's such a major event going to take place. All your sins are going to be forgiven, all the sins that you ever did, and you're going to start a life with a person that cares about you and thinks all the wonderful things. A person could suddenly think, this is Olam Haba. Like that, then everything is perfect. There's a reminder that's given to us, wait, this is not Olam Hazeh, Olam Haba. You're still in Olam Hazeh, and in Olam Hazeh, there's no such thing as a complete pleasure. There's no such thing as 100% simcha-like. You always have to be reminded that when is the simcha going to be b'shleimus? In Olam Haba. In this world, the kavod of Hashem is incomplete. Just like the halacha when a Jew builds a house or buys a new home, there's a special mitzvah to leave an area in the house unfinished. Special as a zecher l'churban, to remind us that just as the house of Hashem is incomplete now, right? The Beis HaMikdash is incomplete. So too, I don't want my house to be any better than Hashem's house. I don't want it to seem like Hashem is living in a broken down house. My house is complete. I want to show that I am mishtatef in the tzara of the Shechina. I acknowledge that here, nothing has shleimus. In Olam Hazeh, there's no such thing as getting to any real shleimus. The real shleimus, the real tikkun, will be in Olam Haba. Baruch Hashem. I'll leave it over here.